Chapter 13. Iden straightened, barely stopping herself from snapping to attention. She was as thick into enemy territory here as she had been on Yavin's moon. The wary tension in her body ebbed slightly as she realized that the rest of Inferno Squad's members had successfully negotiated their own paths to the planet as planned. It had been over a month since Iden had seen them, and while she had expected them to look different out of uniform, she was startled at how much they appeared as if they already belonged. Sen, with her healing, deliberately caused wounds, looked small and wary as she spooned food into her mouth quickly, as if someone were about to take it from her. She glanced furtively at Iden, then back down at her meal. Del, his clothes smudged and well-worn, seemed as if he'd lived here forever, and even spit-and-polished Gideon lounged comfortably beside his brother. Neither had bothered to shave in the 2 weeks, three, since they'd been here. Both regarded her with curious but wary expressions. While she was glad to see them, they only made her feel yet more out of place in her stiff maroon and blue JSEC uniform. She looked around, silently assessing the group. The only one that the data chip had mentioned was the leader, Staven. She recalled the two images that had appeared in his dossier. One was that of a young, attractive man with a thick head of dyed blue hair. He had what Iden was starting to think of as the look. That righteous, firm, certain expression worn only by young males who had been captivated by the ideals of the rebellion. The second one was an official image after he had been captured. He looked older. The naive, hopeful young rebel had given way to the hardened warrior. But despite the bruises on his face, the man in the image had stared back defiantly. The man she beheld now had the same blue hair, though it was difficult to see the exact shade in the shadowy green light cast by the heater, but was otherwise quite different from either image she had seen previously. Imprisonment had changed him, had given his once open face lines of anger and wariness. He stood away from the rest, leaning against the curving stone wall of the cave, arms folded across his chest as he regarded her expressionlessly. "You got her," he said. "Good job, Azen." Closer to the cooking cube, finishing their own meals, was a family that initially looked very human. Their pink eyes, startlingly visible in the dimness, gave them away. Though Iden had never seen the species before, she recognized them as Coggies, and in full daylight, she would have been able to tell that their skin was gray as stone. The Coggy homeworld was quartzite, where they dwelled beneath the surface in constant semi-darkness illuminated only by the soft, purple glow of the crystals that gave the planet its name. Iden was willing to bet she was looking at former members of the elite Coggy warriors, individuals who had likely already been rebels before they had joined the Partisans. The Coggy warriors waged constant war against the Belugans, the dominant species on their world. With that background, it was not surprising to see them among the number of Dreamer Partisans. The father was in his early 40s, all lean muscle under his tunic and cloak. The woman next to him was slender, but wiry and lithe, and her face was pretty but hard. The boy, presumably their son, looked to be in his mid to late teens. Their expressions and body language were openly hostile, and even as they sat beside the heater, Iden suspected they would be able to leap into action in a heartbeat. She noticed that they had blasters within easy reach. So did most of the others. Perched on a boulder a bit away from the heater, his dark clothing and gray fur melding with the shadows, was a Chadrafan. Like the others, he was peering at her, and she could see the green illumination reflected in his large, bright, shiny eyes. The silence became uncomfortable. It was the Chadrafan who finally broke it, with a shrug and a surprisingly cheery, "Hello, I'm Pia Kao." Iden gave him a faint smile. "Hello, Pia Kao," she said. No one else volunteered their names. "Some of us are off-planet right now, but they're due back soon. Aizen said. I'm starving. Are you hungry? A little, yes. He took a bowl and went to ladle something stew-like from the pot that bubbled on the heater. He thrust it at her. Aiden accepted it and stood for a moment, then awkwardly sat down on a leveled rock near the heater. She forced herself not to look over at her fellow Inferno Squad members, instead allowing herself a quick perusal of the cavern. Most of it appeared to be a natural formation, but the dreamers had made some alterations, such as the stone upon which she now sat. Other boulders had been leveled as well, serving as tables and chairs. Lasers had cut several different-sized alcoves in the curving walls, which they used for storage. She caught a glimpse of a large one further in, swathed in shadow. There was enough light from the lichen to catch the outline of a blaster. A weapons cache, then. She moved her eyes from it quickly, lest she be noticed staring at it. Staven now stirred from where he had been watching her. So, Aiden Versio, daughter of Admiral Garrick Versio, survivor of the Death Star, hero of the Empire, now universally despised. What did Aizen tell you about us? He was an attractive man, but his scorn was ugly. Aiden didn't rise to the bait. Not a lot, she said, which wasn't entirely true. That you're Saw Gerrera's partisans, and you hate the Empire and all it stands for? That you're willing to do whatever it takes to bring it down? And you think I can help you with that? Staven nodded. Sounds about right. Can you? It depends on what you want. Staven's face clouded suddenly. This isn't a game, he snapped. He gestured at Del and Gideon. These two! They sought us out after everyone in their cells sacrificed their lives trying to buy them that chance. Both supposed brothers managed to look uncomfortable. Staven turned to the Chadrafan. Piakau here had his family taken from him and held hostage so that he would work willingly in a dangerous environment. Turns out his family was murdered within an hour of his arrival at the factory because that's how the Empire likes to do business. He'll be joining them at some point soon because he's had too much exposure to toxic chemicals. But he's going to help in every way he can, as long as he can. Aiden hadn't noticed it before, but she saw now that there were bare patches on Pia Kao's head. The backs of his hands where gray-blue skin showed through. His expression at Staven's words made clear that the Chatterfan did not like being singled out. Sends an escaped slave whose master helped the Empire negotiate on the black market. Rue, Halia, and Sidori Vushan are Coggies, members of a subjugated species that struggled against oppression for generations. Nobody here has come from a life of privilege and power.
Not directly, at any rate,
came a warm, pleasant male voice. The form of what Aiden guessed to be a human man moved into the firelight. He was lean and a bit taller than average, clean-shaven with thick, shaggy dark hair that was streaked with gray. Aiden couldn't tell what color his eyes were. Some light shade. His face was lightly lined, but the crinkles around his eyes indicated more smiles than scowls. He was smiling now.
I was born into a life of power and privilege, some 30-odd years ago. But I've had neither for quite some time. You and I have a few things in common, I think, Aiden. That's why I suggested to Staven you'd be willing to help us.
What's your name? Aiden asked the newcomer.
Call me the Mentor, he said.
Which was an answer, and also wasn't. Despite her hunger, Aiden allowed the bowl of stew to cool in her hands as she regarded first the alleged leader, then the one who had managed to push through a request to kidnap her. She looked back at Staven. I'm guessing you're the leader. Tell me how I can help you. The Mentor's smile widened. At that moment, Aiden heard voices approaching the encampment, talking slowly with the sort of suppressed, relieved excitement that Aiden recognized as the sound of people who had returned from a successful mission.
I smell tick-tick stew,
came a bright female voice.
I'm gonna eat it all, the Coggy boy, Sidori, called in warning. Only if you want to get pummeled,
came another female voice, husky and warm. A man laughed. A Twi'lek, followed by a human male and female, strode into the ring of firelight. Immediately, the energy shifted. The Twi'lek,
was welcomed with hugs. And for a moment, the smiles and laughter made the encampment feel less like an outlaw hideout than a weekend roughing it with friends. It was an odd transition. The newcomers noticed Aiden right away, of course. "So," the human female said, keeping her eyes on Aiden as she went towards Staven. "Well done, Aizen. You got her. Those months spying on Vardos paid off. Good times ahead, now that you're back." She gave Aizen a friendly clap on the back and turned to Staven. The partisan leader opened his arms to her, and she slid into an easy embrace. He kissed her forehead, and she leaned against him as they both returned their attention to the gathering. Aiden's parents had never demonstrated any kind of physical affection in front of their daughter, and Aiden found that this, almost more than the abduction at gunpoint or being the center of suspicious attention, made her uncomfortable. "She gonna work with us?" the human male asked. He was the youngest, other than the Coggy boy, lean and scruffy-looking and suspicious. He had startling green eyes and good features beneath the layer of stubble. "Yes, she is," Aiden said, unable to bite her tongue in time. "We arrived right before you did," Aizen said. He pointed his spoon at Aiden, water still a little icy. The Twi'lek's Leku twitched as she regarded Aiden with an appraising gaze. "How did it go?" the mentor asked the Twi'lek, clearly attempting to divert attention from their imperial guest, new member, prisoner. Aiden still didn't know what they thought of her. "Very well," the Twi'lek said. "They were clay in my hands, and in Kaeve's," she added, throwing a glance and an exaggerated theatrical wink in the human male's direction. He pretended to swoon, threw her a kiss, and smiled, revealing startlingly white, even teeth. Everyone laughed. "It never ceases to amaze me what people in power will say or do when presented with something they desire and can't have." Staven alone didn't smile. "One of these days, Dana," he warned, "you're gonna get in over your head." Aiden expected more laughter and banter, but instead Dana grew serious. "Not happening. You learn all the tricks of survival when you're owned." Aiden, who had taken a bite of stew, paused in her chewing for an instant in surprise, automatically glancing at Sen before she realized what she'd done. A shock went through her. Damn it! Had she betrayed herself already? Until she remembered that Sen had already been introduced as a slave. Anyone watching her closely would simply assume she had made the connection between the two women. Aiden had to tamp down a sudden rush of anger at the slip. She was uncertain how convincingly living out the life of an undercover spy and the thought bothered her. "I am a Versio, and Versios excel." "Is she clean?" the Twi'lek, Dana, asked. "No recording devices, no transmitters, nothing." "Oh, come on," Aizen said, exasperated. "You think I'd bring her here if she wasn't? The ship's clean, too." Aiden froze as the significance of the statement registered. She lifted her head from the bowl of stew and looked Aizen straight in the eye. "Aizen," she said, her voice ice, "how did you search me?" His gaze slid away. "Scanners," he said. "Just scanners?" Aiden challenged him. Aizen scowled and didn't reply, jabbing at his stew with his spoon. "Aizen, did you touch me?" "Well, I had to be sure, didn't I?" Aizen shot back. Aiden flushed in outrage, and her hands gripped the bowl tightly. She'd expected to be searched, but to discover that it had been done without her knowledge? While she was unconscious? She started to rise. In an instant, the tenor of the gathering turned. All three Coggies were on their feet, blasters or vibro knives in their hands. Judging by the clattering sound, others, too, had drawn weapons. Staven had surged toward her, and Aiden turned to face him, shaking with fury. And then, faster than Aiden would have given him credit for, the mentor was between them.
"Back off, Staven. Everyone else, sit down."
He glanced over his shoulder and said in a quieter voice, "You too, Aiden." Slowly, her eyes on Staven, Iden sank back down onto the stone. Her body trembled with unleashed kinetic energy. Staven didn't move, but after a few seconds, the others complied with the mentor's request, some more graciously than others. "Staven," the mentor said again, quietly. "She has a right to be angry." "She's an Imperial captain, daughter of an Imperial admiral," Staven spat. But he did take a step backward. "And nothing is more certain in life than that parent and child will disagree," the mentor said. "We all agreed to bring her here. We believed she could help our cause. And this is how we inspire her to join us?" His eyes sought out Aizen. "Aizen, you owe her an apology."
"Yes," said the Twi'lek harshly.
"You do." To his credit, Aizen looked deeply uncomfortable.
"Okay, I'm sorry. But you have to understand, we were taking a risk in bringing you here. The last thing I wanted to do was to jeopardize the group. Gleb's people might have put something on you, to track you in case you tried to run away. It's not like you were a guest at her place."
It was a reasonable assumption. Iden knew that had the roles been reversed, she wouldn't have hesitated to search him just as thoroughly. War was, after all, war. But she wasn't going to give them that. She had the moral high ground now, and wouldn't yield it until doing so would serve her.
"I'm not exactly an invited guest here either," she said.
"No," said the Twi'lek, "and once you were our enemy. We hope that's not the case any longer. So for now, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
After you've searched me thoroughly, of course."
The former slave lowered her head in acknowledgement. "After we've searched you thoroughly, yes. We must protect our own. There's so few of us left to do the work. I'm willing to bet you understand that."
Iden waited a moment, but then sighed. She'd made her point. Time to appear gracious.
"I do understand it.
And I'm willing to bet you understand that I'll punch the next person who touches me without my permission."
To her surprise, the Twi'lek's face lit up with a knowing grin. "And I'll be right behind you to take my own swing."
"All right," the mentor said, looking around at the group. "Let's try this again."
Everyone settled back down.
"We call ourselves the Dreamers," Staven said.
"Dreamers.
Aizen said you were Saw Gerrera's partisans." "We can't be him. We're just following in his footsteps. We're keeping alive the dream. Saw was the face, the voice of our cause. It was a hell of a blow. And we lost a lot of people on Jeddah along with him."
His eyes flickered to Iden as he spoke, and they were hard as stone. "Does he know that the Death Star was responsible for Jeddah, too?" she wondered. "And if so, how?"
"Since his death, we've been actively recruiting. So there are a lot of newcomers. Del, Gid, Sen, Kaeve, and now you, Iden. On the plus side, the more the Empire arrogantly shows off how far they're willing to go, the more people are growing outraged. They want to fight back while there's still time. And this is good. This is great. But we lost Saw. We lost the man who gathered the people, who inspired them. The Empire is doubling down on any rebel group. And we're all prepared to die if we need to. Which means we'll need those others, those people who are filled with anger and want somewhere to direct it."
He looked over at Kaeve.
"They hit us hard with Alderaan."
The younger man nodded, solemn.
"But we, the Rebel Alliance, with help from Saw right before he was martyred, hit back by destroying something the Empire values much more than lives. Their perception of their own infallibility, and they're still hurting. Aren't they, Iden?"
"Yes," Iden replied at once. "No one will admit it. But they're all shaken. Even at the highest levels, you're absolutely right. Now's the moment. We need to keep hitting them hard before they can recover.
And if anyone can help us with that, you can,"
the mentor said to her. He gave her a kind smile.
"Once we're sure we can trust you," Staven said pointedly, People are inspired. They're ready to fight now because there's a chance that we can win. Many didn't believe that before. But we gotta be smart about who we can bring into our midst. This group is new. But a lot of us have either worked directly with Saw or one another over the years. Rebel groups aren't tidy like the Empire, Aiden. People wander in and out. But you forge bonds when you fought beside someone. Kaeve here has already gone on 5 missions with us. He's done well. Kaeve beamed under the praise.
He needs to follow orders better, Dana said, but softened her words with a friendly wink.
Kaeve laughed and nodded self-deprecatingly.
I'm learning.
We haven't found the right mission for Sen yet, but she's already proven herself invaluable with her forgery skills. Del's been assisting Piakow to work wonders on getting some of our older ships up and skyworthy, and both he and his brother Gid have flown with us on separate missions.
Aiden felt the old, familiar, easy sensation of friendly competition stir when Gid's name was mentioned. If you know about me, you know I'm an exceptional pilot, she began. I'll be able to... Pilots are commonplace, even good ones, Staven interrupted her bluntly. We risked taking you from Vardos for a completely different reason. If you can't help us, if you don't earn our trust, you'll be gone. And by gone, I don't mean given a ship with a full fuel tank and a farewell party. You're here now, and you can't be allowed to leave. The sudden turn from the lighthearted teasing to the reality of how brutal the Partisans really were at their hearts was startling, as no doubt Staven intended. He smiled. It was the first time that he had done so since Aiden had arrived, and she didn't like it. It was cold and predatory, and she realized that he wasn't at all happy to have her here, and he wanted very much for her to fail.